Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And we have a reading from the teachings of the church, found on your service sheet. It's from the work, The Arcana Celestia, and it's number 9863. The foundations of the wall of the city, the New Jerusalem, were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, chalcedony, the fourth, emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, amethyst. Now these precious stones mean the church's truths, which are God's truths. This is clear from the meaning of the city, the New Jerusalem, the wall of it, and the foundations of the wall. The New Jerusalem means a new church which will take place of the one that is ours at the present day. For the book of Revelation deals with the state of the church that exists now through to its end, and then with a new church, which is the holy Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. The wall of it means the truths of faith that serve and defend it, and the foundations, truths that spring from good. Those actual truths in their proper order are specified by the precious stones mentioned by name there. Anyone may see that no Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven, or that anything else mentioned there is literally going to take place, but that this description in every detail means such things as have to do with the church. The fact that the truths of faith are meant by the foundations of its wall is clear from the consideration that they are the things which guard the church from every attack, as walls do a city. So in our last look at this passage of Scripture, we focused on the change of state that's represented by the passing away of the first heaven and earth and the establishment of a new heaven and earth in its place. Essentially, heaven and earth, we saw, are terms that refer to what is more internal and what is more external within the minds of people. So in the context of our regeneration, the goal, of course, is to come into states of life in which we feel and think from the loves of heaven, that we think in accordance with these loves, so that we think from what is true. Because truth is all about love. We know a thing is true when it leads to what is loving and good. And that is the only criteria we need to test the truth of something. The first heaven and earth refers to the human mind that has yet to undergo a process of being regenerated, of coming into new ideas that can transform the view from one of a natural perspective that sees material and physical things as reality to actually begin to perceive spiritual things as the reality of all that is. So the goal in spiritual life is to go through this process of transformation. We are removed, or our sense of self at least, is removed from very external, natural loves that look to the world and to self, and be drawn into heavenly loves that look to what is good and true, what is loving and wise, and looks to how we can share that more effectively with others. So this transformation cannot occur without our obeying the injunctions of spiritual principles and laws. These things we find in the Word. And it involves work. It involves spiritual work or mental work. And that work is one of self-examination or self-reflection. And then a willingness to change or to take corrective action when we see those things within us that are destructive of what is truly loving and wise. The spiritual life comes with responsibilities. And in that responsibility that is given to us of self-examination and corrective action, we need to create for ourselves conditions which can remind us to do this work. Because without conscious effort, we won't do it. We just won't do it. And if we don't do it, our spiritual affections for truth will inevitably lose force and power within us. In a way, we end up falling asleep. We forget our purpose and the reason for being here in the world. And it is in the truths that we find in the Word or in the Bible that empowers us to do this spiritual work when we understand them spiritually and not take them literally. They empower us because when we know what is true, we are able to choose what is good through resisting our evils as they present themselves in feelings of or thoughts and behaviors that have self-interest at their heart. The Word has this power because the Lord in His second coming has revealed Himself to be the Word itself. And this is where the new church differs from the Christian church. The Christian church's focus is on the historical personage of Jesus Christ and the first advent. The new church, by contrast, takes its reference point from the Lord's second advent, which is not a second coming of Jesus in person, but it is a coming of the Lord in and through His Word, through opening it up and giving us a new understanding of these things so that we can live more effectively in that life that He promised. And it is these words that we read this morning describing the descent of the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation. It is this that these words describe. It is this coming of insight, of enlightenment, how these things can apply to our inner life. This is what is meant by the Lord's second coming. These words in Revelation were never meant to be taken literally. They are clearly symbolic, and as such, they represent spiritual realities that belong to the inner spiritual life of people. And so, in one sense, these words have already had their fulfillment. It has already occurred in time. But in another sense, they are continually being fulfilled as they find expression within the minds of people who are being regenerated because they are living their life in accordance with these truths of the Word. In terms of the spiritual history of the human race, the descent of the New Jerusalem began when the possibility was opened up for a new heaven and a new earth to come into being within us. This heaven and earth describes, as I said, the human mind. And it becomes possible with the introduction of new concepts, new ideas that have the power of opening up a new spiritual consciousness, a new way of feeling and thinking about the realities found within the Word. And this is what is meant by a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and earth being a mind fixed in worldly and natural concepts in regard to spiritual realities. And this mind has, or our dependence on it, has to pass away if we are to function from a spiritual base in regard to spiritual things. We can illustrate this point from the very text we read this morning. Natural thought about spiritual realities presents itself when we read words like this and we get stuck in their literal meaning. And when we're stuck in their literal meaning, we can't see the spiritual meaning that lies within them. It's like a cloud that obscures the light within. To think naturally about spiritual things in this case would be to view them as describing an actual city that will descend from on high at some point in the future. In the new church, we know that the Word is first and foremost concerned with spiritual things, and that such things are those things of the mind, the things that belong to the will and the understanding of a person. The understanding being that which holds truth, ideas, concepts, and the will being that which is of the heart, holds our affections, our desires, our aspirations, our dreams. We know from the heavenly doctrines that this is the case, for they teach that everything in the Word is representative of inner mental states of people in relation to the divine life's impact upon us. That these things mentioned in the Word should not be read as referring to things in the physical outer world. So the phrase holy city has nothing to do with a holy city, much less a city that descends from on high called Jerusalem or the New Jerusalem. And a little spiritual thought can establish this quite quickly. The quality of holiness is not attributable to things. Holiness is only attributable to the divine alone. So holiness is a quality that belongs to the divine itself, to the Lord. And nothing other than the Lord and what comes forth from Him can be described as holy. The Lord Himself is divine love and divine wisdom. And what comes forth from the divine love and the divine wisdom is everything good and true. And it is these things alone, these spiritual realities that are from the divine that have this quality of holiness. So no city can be a holy city. What comes forth from the Lord is His Word. And it is the Word that is described here by this city, the Word as to doctrine. Because the Word contains the fullness of the divine love and wisdom accommodated to the comprehension of angels and beings on earth, people. Angelic and human comprehension is what is being spoken of here. The angelic and human comprehension of the divine Lord. You see, this city can't be anything else than the Word. For the only thing that comes down from God out of heaven is divine revelation. Knowledge concerning who and what the divine is. And without the specific revelation given to the new church found in the heavenly doctrines, we would have no way of knowing this. And so our thought would remain weighed down in material thinking when we read these words in the scriptures. Thinking that by a city is meant something made up of physical structures like the cities of the world. But when we see that the Bible is a spiritual text, then we can understand that by the term city, it must represent something spiritual. It must describe something from the divine that takes its form as a structure not in the material world, but within the human mind, which is what our spirit is. Your spirit is your thinking and your feeling, and the quality of your spirit is reflected in the quality of your thought and affection. This is what resides in the human mind. So if we reflect, we see that the human mind holds belief structures made up of ideas and concepts that we live from. So this city from God must be heavenly teachings that teach what love and wisdom truly are. And we call such teachings doctrine. And it is this doctrine or spiritual teaching that is meant by this city, the New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So in historical terms, the giving of this doctrine that teaches what the Bible has to say as to its inner meaning, descending from God through the heavens, was made by means of a human being. These teachings had to come through someone in order that they might be published. And that man happens to be Emanuel Swedenborg. From 1749, with the publishing of the first volume of the body of the teachings of the church called the Arcana Celestia, through to 1771, where he published a work called True Christian Religion, the human race was given a new set of spiritual teachings that made it possible to see what the inner content of the Bible contained. How the Bible, the truths there, can be applied to the life of the human mind, to the life of our thoughts and our affections. So this is what is described by the New Jerusalem descending from God out of heaven in a universal historical sense. The truths had to be given, they had to be published so that others could take hold of them, read them, and assess them for themselves. And that assessment, as I said earlier, has to do with the ability of those things that are claimed to be true to bring about a transformation in our affections and thoughts that brings us into a life of that is much more compassionate, much more merciful, much more loving, much more understanding towards others. So the works that make up the heavenly doctrines for the new church, they have come forth from the Word, from an inner understanding of the Word. And now they serve as a mirror in which false ideas concerning God, false ideas tied up in a materialistic bodily view of the divine, these can now be dispersed, and the true nature of the Lord as love and wisdom can be reflected back into human consciousness. The doctrines themselves testify or bear witness to themselves that they are the means by which the Lord makes his second coming, his second advent. And the Lord makes his second advent on a personal level as well. And he makes that advent when he comes in the power of love. So that when we begin to apply truths to life and they begin to transform our inner being, so then we get a new appreciation, a new vision, a new insight into who the Lord really is. These are the Lord in his divine human. Because he is in his divine human when he can be appreciated through finite human minds. The Lord as he is in himself is infinite, beyond our comprehension. But he is finited in truths we can grasp. And because those truths are finited, and we can grasp them being human beings, so the Lord presents himself as a divine human. So what John saw in his vision in the book of Revelation was a symbolic representation of the opening up of the interior meaning of the word. This becomes clear from the quotes of Scripture that precede the last work that was written, which is the work True Christian Religion, a work that teaches that it is internal things that are the essential elements of the church. It is the church resides in the quality of the love and wisdom within a person. It is not the external structure or organization. The true church resides in everyone who lives according to the truth they have in order to bring about what is loving and good. So the true church of the Lord extends beyond the bounds of a select few and is throughout the whole earth, throughout all religions, where truths are taught that teach people how to love more effectively. And so in the case of the work True Christian Religion, there are two quotes that it begins with. And we're just going to look at those for a moment. The first one is from the book of Daniel. Daniel 7:13-14, and it says this: I was watching in the visions of the night, and I saw the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And to him were given dominion and glory, and the kingdom and all peoples, nations and tongues will worship him. His dominion will be a dominion forever, which will not pass away, and his kingdom one that will not perish. And the second reading was taken from the book of Revelation, partly from what we read today, but Revelation 1, 2, 5, 9, and 10. And it says this: I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. And the angel spoke with me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit into a great and high mountain, and showed me the great holy city of Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, because these words are true and trustworthy. Both these selections of Scripture are quoted at the beginning of the work True Christian Religion because they refer directly to it. But we have to understand these things spiritually to get a sense of what that's about. The first statement from Daniel, referring to the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven, has nothing to do with the Son of Man coming in natural, physical, material clouds. It is a reference to the Lord coming as to the spiritual sense, the inner meaning of the word. And this is contained in the clouds of heaven. Now, heaven is a spiritual reality, not a natural one. And so heaven, the clouds of heaven, those things that contain yet obscure the spiritual meaning. And so the clouds of heaven is the literal sense of the word. Because when a person reads about a city descending from out of heaven and thinks in terms of natural things, the spiritual truth is obscured. And so the opening up of that is the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, where the spiritual meaning is coming forth from those literal words on the page. When the word is read literally, we read of natural things that involve the history of the Jewish nation. And we read of obscure prophecies that have to do, apparently, with the nations of the world. This all clouds the spiritual content when our focus gets caught up in the literal meaning. Hence, the literal sense is called the clouds of heaven, for it obscures the interior sense or the spiritual meaning of the word. This inner spiritual meaning relates to the activity of the divine life within the human mind. The clouds of the literal sense of the word are dispersed when it is understood in accordance with the truths that are found in the teachings in this work, True Christian Religion. These truths coming forth are described as the Son of Man in the symbolic language of Scripture. Now, sons and daughters have a spiritual meaning. These are offspring. And so spiritually, sons and daughters have to do with the generation of thoughts and affections. That's what their spiritual meaning is. So sons in the word, they correspond to truths that are generated. And daughters spiritually correspond to affections that are generated. These things belong to the mind. So Son of Man has to do with something to do with truth that is generated. And that term man is better translated human, a more generic term. Son of the human. And the term human refers, in the case of the Lord, to what is truly human. Not human because we are in this body, but what is truly human? This is a question. And what is truly human is love, mercy, compassion, goodness, understanding. That is what is truly human. So the idea of the Son of Man, it refers to truths that teach all about what is truly human, that teach what love and wisdom is. And when we make this a priority in our life, then this is what is meant by handing over all glory and dominion to the Lord as the Word, and entering into what it truly means to worship Him. Because to worship Him is to live according to the truth that we have. If we are not doing that, then everything else we do and call worship is a facade. Now this handing over is described in the quote from in Daniel, where it says, all nations, all peoples and all tongues coming to worship Him. This has to do with everything within our being coming to worship Him. So the Son of Man is nothing else other than the truths coming to view in the Word. And we see these truths, these interior truths, when we are able to relate the Scriptures to our interior life. The second quote from the book of Revelation comes alive when we read this as referring directly to the doctrine given to the human race through the agency of Emanuel Swedenborg. Next week we will deal with the idea of the New Jerusalem prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. But just hold in mind that this bride that brings us into connection with the divine are truths. It is ideas concerning the divine, what love is, what wisdom is, that brings us into connection with the divine. And so this is the bride prepared. It is the doctrine itself. But in the last statement here, it reads, He that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, because these words are true and trustworthy. Now, there can be no doubt that this quote from the book of Revelation is given at the start of True Christian Religion to make a point. And the point is this, that the contents of True Christian Religion were inspired by the Lord Himself. Through the giving of truths that relate to the interior sense of the word, the Lord makes all things new for us in regard to our understanding of the Scriptures. the obscure understanding of natural thought, of natural Christianity as a religion based on tradition and the literal reading of the scriptures, can once and for all be dispersed as the truths for a spiritual Christianity shine their light within the human mind. Swedenborg saw himself as one called to bring these truths into the world in a written form, and so the final statement from the book of Revelation quoted here has a double meaning, has a double reference, if you like. It was a command to John to write, for these words are trustworthy and true. But it also has relevance to the true Christian religion. For the command is, write. Write, because these words are trustworthy and true. The word does have an inner meaning that applies to our inner life. What John saw in symbolic terms, Swedenborg delivers in plain language, that all may now enter into the mysteries of faith with understanding and know the transformative power of the Word to bring into our life the Lord's love and wisdom so that we might share that with others. Amen.